So let's start with this lecture verse. The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. So today I'm going to talk about befriending the bodhisattvas. And don't worry, I'm going to define some terms in just a moment. But I want to tell you a quick little story that happened to me when I... Can you all hear me, by the way? Yes? Yes. So even though she's not here, she's down in the Bay Area for a conference. I would like to thank Reverend Master Mahon, because she was the one who in some ways influenced my relationship with bodhisattvas. I had a relationship with bodhisattvas when I was a layperson, believe me. But when I was a brand new monk, I was on the altar helping her clean. And at that time, we had a statue of Samantabhadra. And I said to her, "Oh, I don't really know a lot about Samantabhadra." And she said, "Oh, you need to study and know the bodhisattvas." And I went, "Oh, okay, great, I'll do that." And so the rest of my life, I've been doing that. But actually, I was doing that beforehand. But anyway, so before I get into befriending, and befriending itself means to be a friend to. So to be a friend to the bodhisattvas. But what are bodhisattvas? And bodhisattvas are enlightening beings. Bodhi means enlightenment. Sattva means being, great being. And so there they are. They're these big beings. And what do they represent? And they represent the pillars of our training to some extent. Compassion is Avalokiteshvara or Kanzion, and her picture is in the shrine over there. And she's the one that helps us with the flowing of compassion out from her, out from us, into us, out in, so on. That's how bodhisattvas work. They're always fluid. And the other one is Samantabhadra, which I wasn't familiar with, also called Fugen in Japanese. And that is the bodhisattva of love, or of great universal goodness. So an expansive force of doing good. And that's who Samantabhadra is. So bodhisattvas, you're beginning to get a sense, I hope, that bodhisattvas are actually beings that have qualities of enlightenment. Enlightenment is the way we really are. It's our Buddha nature. It's our true goodness. And the bodhisattvas manifest that and help teach us that. The other ones are wisdom, which is Manjushri. And that's the bodhisattva that teaches us to be discerning, to be wise in what we say and do. And that's really hard to do, as we know. It's hard to be wise. But that bodhisattva is very... compassionate, and he or she works with Avalokiteshvara, the bodhisattva of compassion. They work together because you cannot express true compassion without wisdom, and you cannot express true wisdom without compassion. So these bodhisattvas are our aids. They're our spiritual aids. And Kishtagarbha, whose festival we celebrated today. Kishtagarbha, also called Jizo, and I'm going to go back and forth with either calling him Kishtagarbha or she, either one, he, she, or Jizo. The bodhisattvas, actually, it's an important point. They are beyond gender. They are male, female, they can be whatever is appropriate for the situation. And they're very fluid. And that's a very beautiful part of them. So Kishtagarbha is the bodhisattva of great vows. Because, as you know from the scripture we recited today, they have agreed to remain a bodhisattva until all beings are out of hell. And as we know, there's a lot going on in our world that indicates that there's a lot of suffering still in our world. I will explain hell in just a minute, but I still want to kind of give you a sense of what bodhisattvas are. And part of that sense is that they have, I forgot one more, who is Achalanatha. And he's the unmovable one. He's the one that sits still in the fire. And he teaches us about peace. And believe me, I find that a profound blessing to offer beings. More than, may you feel well, may you have a happy outcome. It's more about finding peace. Peace with our hearts. And peace with all our relations. It's really, it's the heart of it in some ways. So Achalanatha is also a great example, a great helper of the qualities we wish to manifest, which are really the qualities of enlightenment. So we have to manifest our enlightenment. We can't just be enlightened. We have to share it. Help others. So are these bodhisattvas real? Well, I'll let you decide that. That's for you to find out. It's an exploration. Training is an exploration of one's own mind and one's own experience. And so it doesn't matter whether you think they're real or not to them, because they're just working away. They're just doing good. But if you get a sense of that it's worthwhile to be a devotee of the bodhisattvas, then your life gets certainly has a very lovely aspect to it. So they're good for us to befriend, because they're befriending us, whether we see it or recognize it or not. So, and sometimes, I just want to say, sometimes they rescue us from disaster. And either literally or figuratively. And they can be a source of refuge for us. They can be a source of protection. I know someone who is no longer with us, but who was a very delightful human being. And I remember her saying, I would have sons and I wouldn't like what the monk was saying to me. And she said, and I'd go to Kanzion and I'd say, tell me, because I can hear from you. And it obviously helped her, because she trained for many years. So in the scriptures, I would like to talk a little bit about the idea of rescue. In the scriptures that we recited today, there was that line that Reverend Master Jiu wrote, Kishtagarbha helps, is the benefactor of children. So he helps children and women and travelers and people who are vulnerable. Oh, well, that's all of us, huh? Reverend Master Jiu wrote, when bullies scream so loud, you're more useful than a crowd. I've thought about that for a long time. What does that mean, you're more useful than a crowd? What is she saying? What's that pointing to? And I think what she's pointing to at its simplest is that when we take refuge and get still, say someone's trying to bully us, and we get still and take refuge in our heart, that bully loses their power. And bullies don't like to lose their power. They like to have power. So they want to terrorize us and make us acquiesce. So when we take refuge in Kishtagarbha for help, within our own heart, we are establishing our own power. And people who do that can overpower bullies, in a sense. They can make the bullies run away because bullies are actually afraid. So that's just a very important aspect of bodhisattvas. So we did this festival today for Kishtigarbha Bodhisattva. And the name Kishtigarbha, literally means, translates, earth store, earth treasure, earth matrix, earth womb. So the Kishti must mean earth. He's right here with us, doing the help right here on this earth. And then garbha can mean womb or variations of that. And so that's kind of like, it brings us right into it. It's in our guts. It's in our hara, our place of meditation. So the vow, the reason that Kishtigarbha is called Great Vow Bodhisattva is because that vow that has been made is to stay in the world and help beings until there are no more helps. So let's look at that. What do we mean by hell? Because, first of all, I want to say, for anybody who isn't familiar, Buddhism does not believe in eternal damnation. There is nobody that goes to hell forever. But hell is one of the realms in Buddhism. There are six realms: the earth, the human realm, the animal realm, the realm of the hungry ghosts, which are spirits that are never satisfied. There's the realm of the asuras, which are people who work in Wall Street, really aggressive. I'm going to beat everybody. I'm going to come on top, the warrior types. And the heavens, and in Buddhism, heaven is not necessarily a place you want to go because you get enticed by all the distractions. You can get very distracted in heaven and you cannot pay attention to helping other beings. So, and then there's the hell realms. And the Dalai Lama himself had said, oh, maybe I'll go to hell. More opportunities to do good. So, we have this kind of different take on hell than most people. But I was at a class once and Reverend Master Hubert was talking and he said, well, Buddhists believe in hell. And don't tell me you haven't been there. I went, oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, I know hell very well. If you read history, if you pay attention to the news, you know that hell is in the human realm. It's a way of understanding the present if you study the past. So I study history, and it gives me a sense of part of the reason why our world is so anxious, because it's part of our karmic inheritance. It's part of our karmic being. So it's a part of us. So it's not separate. And as we know, if you look at the news, you can be instantly blasted into hell. It's just, there's so much suffering. All of a sudden you hear about someone, it can overwhelm you. There's wars going on. And as we know, there's a very distinct trend, which I heard on the news, they were talking about it. There's a trend now that when there's wars, they just fire on anybody and everybody. They blow up civilian cities and they blow up in civil wars. They just open fire on everybody. So there's a level of brutality that exists in this intense suffering. And I'd like to also say that hell is a state of our mind, because if you start watching your mind, you know that you often will judge yourself, send yourself to a hell realm immediately. Actually, blame, regret, grief, jealousy, envy, hatred, anger, those are all hell, opportunities for hell, going to hell. If you have any of those emotions start arising, you can find yourself with a great deal of suffering. Now, the Buddha defines suffering as, it's suffering, dissatisfactoriness, and something that just niggles at us or makes us feel horrible. And it can be caused by grasping what you want, by pushing away what you don't want, by not being able to be with those you love, or being with those you don't want to be with. Those are all suffering. Those are all opportunities for dissatisfactoriness or suffering. So when you think about it, Jizo is really the example of kindness, to be willing to just hang out in this dissatisfactory realm for the benefit of helping other beings. And part of that benefit is by watching what Jizo does in the health. And part of what's done is this presence of stillness and unmovability and witnessing what's going on. And there's something really interesting about that, because in some ways, I think part of hell is how we look at it, how we look at things. And when we change our attitudes or open our minds to things being different than how we see them, we can see good in the midst of very difficult situations. And that's really important. There can be good going on, not just the horrible things that we're seeing. So that openness is a really important aspect of bodhisattvas. They are very open. They see things in a very fluid way. And we can learn a lot from that. So I talk about befriending the bodhisattvas because, to some extent, bodhisattvas can be seen solely as just there to help us. And they are that. They are that way. But what does befriending mean? And I can say from a personal experience I had with Kishtagarbha Bodhisattva was, many years ago when I was a layperson, our children were at the Dharma school. And they would come and they would participate. And there was this little ceremony the children did at the Jizo shrine where they would sweep, they would recite these verses and then sweep. And why they were sweeping was they would sweep away whatever little creatures there were so that people wouldn't step on them. It's really sweet, really sweet. And I was, the kids went off to their class with the monks, but I was putting away the brooms. And I looked at the statue, and I don't know why I did this, but I walked up to the statue, and I said, "I am willing to help you." And then I was immediately terrified. Oh my God, what did I just say? You know, is Jesus going to send me to hell? I don't know that I'm ready to go. You know, I mean, it was just, but I have a lot of fear. I have a lot of fear. And actually, I didn't need to be. And I just went on with my life. And what my experience is that the bodhisattvas, when we befriend the bodhisattvas, it's meaning we're there to help too. And that we are encouraged to help in some very wonderful ways. But that the bodhisattvas help us. So it's a mutual opening to each other. Does that make sense? There's this permeability that occurs between us and the bodhisattvas. And that is where it's really important. So so we consider their vows. We can look at their iconography. We put themselves in their place. We think about why it's said that bodhisattvas say what they say. Really important. What are they thinking? They don't necessarily think like we do. And I think that's really helpful. It's really helpful because you see the way you look. When you meditate, you begin to open yourself to your mind. And you see how difficult that is. How unstill, how chaotic, how challenging that is. And then you contrast it with the bodhisattva. So like, it's like there's the flowing still water, and our minds are kind of muddy and turbulent and turbid and all these T words. And but the bodhisattvas kind of help us settle. And so that's really an important point. So behind me, and I hope we put this on the web, this scroll, picture of the scroll, but I love that. It's one of my favorite scrolls because there's Kishtigarbha standing on the cliffs of hell, not in the middle of hell, but on the cliff, and standing there holding a staff and holding a jewel out for the beings. And you don't see any suffering beings climbing up the cliff to be with Jesus. So that's a good thing to ponder. Okay, so the staff means that, as it said in the scriptures today that we recited, the staff, bang, 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 down the gates of hell, open and out. What does that mean? It means break the things down that keep you locked up. You can be free. That's all. It's very simple. The other thing the staff is good for is that it can be shaked. And little creatures and little beings and snakes and slithery things that take a while to get out from under your feet hear Jizo coming and get out of the way. And that's a very compassionate aspect. Now that jewel's a mani jewel. And the mani jewel is called the wish-fulfilling jewel. And of course you think, well, if Jizo is giving you your wish, certainly all the beings of hell would climb up to Jizo and say, I want the wish-fulfilling gem. Get me the hell out of here. Come on, that's my wish. Okay, but guess what? They're not doing that. So why is that? Why do we not get rescued? Well, part of it is because the real wish-fulfilling gem, what it really means is that we wish for all beings to be enlightened. We wish for them all to be at peace and to know their own true nature. So, that makes more sense then, because that's hard work. And that's scary. It's the unknown of beginning spiritual practice, which can be scary. And so then we're more in sympathy with the people in hell, and we're more in sympathy with Jizo. But so Jizo's not insisting. He's just making the offering. And it's up to us to take the jewel and go with it. And it's also interesting that children in their ceremony on Jizo Day, they bring rocks, they bring stones for the children that don't know that they can have the wish-fulfilling gem. It's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful thing. So, I think why this scroll is so important is in part because it's teaching, the example of non-action. Non-action isn't inaction, it's non-action. It's that willingness to be still before we do something. And we have no idea what Jizo's going to do after he's witnessed this suffering. We don't know. But it's the willingness to be still and be guided by our heart rather than our emotions or our minds. Because as we know, when we do things based on our emotions, we tend to make mistakes. And that's okay. And it's okay to take action. It's just important to look at the results and see, well, was it wise? Was it helpful? Could I have done better? I don't think we ever stop doing that. So that's, I think, part of the way the bodhisattvas help us, is they hold us in that exploration. And we do the work. So I think these things that I'm talking about are, to some extent, the explanations for my question that I've always had, is how could somebody live in hell for lifetime upon lifetime until beings get it and want enlightenment and will not harm each other and not do things. And I think part of that answer comes from looking at things differently than how we look at them. We see things with our own filters of suffering and how to open that and how to see it in a different way. And the other thing is that always there's a moment of stillness that we all have before we take action. And it's taking refuge in that stillness. And those are the ways that we can be with suffering. So I think Kishtagarbha is the great witnesser of suffering. And it's been a great journey to befriend the bodhisattvas. So I wish you well on your journey. So thank you very much. On this very hot day, you've all tried very hard not to fall asleep. And even if you fell asleep, it was just fine. Thank you.